Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to your weekly edition of the Cards Cast, a podcast from Cardinal Authority. I'm senior writer Michael McCamma, joined by publisher Jody Demling. A lot of exciting things going on. It looks like we might have a football season, but before we can get to the football season, we got to have football camp. And for the University of Louisville, that starts on Tuesday morning. And Jody, it's always an exciting moment. We're usually down there. We're just planning on spending a couple hours in the sun, taking photos, you know, doing post-practice interviews and all that. Obviously, this year's a little bit different. We're going to be doing a lot of that by Zoom. There's no going down there and able to watch it, but still a pretty exciting moment when you step into fall camp.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to watch anything. And then that's unfortunate because I love watching fall camp and just chilling and hanging out with some football guys. But hey, to be at this point right now where you have a camp at all is a good thing in its own right. They'll start camp tomorrow, and a lot of people asking about, you know, why tomorrow and all that. Well, it was the original date. So Louisville was supposed to play on September 2nd. That was the original date that they were going to practice tomorrow, and they just didn't. The NCAA just said keep your date because, I mean, quite honestly, it's changing every day. You know what I mean? Like some, you know, I mean, as we know, the Big Ten doesn't know when their games are going to start yet, or they haven't announced a date of when their games are going to start. Other conferences have just decided, you know, I noticed the Sun Belt went to 12, you know, said they're going to play 12 games today. All this could change. So it's a matter of kind of like, okay, just go ahead and do it because you know what? I mean, you don't know when you're going to start a season, really, to be honest. You know, like I said, even though the ACC has said September 7th through the 11th that week, I mean, it could be pushed back to later if it is. And so they just said keep your camps and go at it. And I'm excited for this Louisville team. You know, for guys, they haven't had a whole lot to look forward to. They haven't had a whole lot to, you know, you know, they knew, as we said last week, they knew that September 2nd date was on the calendar, but they, for the most part, knew they weren't playing NC State on September 2nd. It just wasn't going to happen. And it wasn't because of the derbies that week and they were going to move it. It was because of the pandemic. So now they've got a little excitement. And I think it's, I think it'll make for a very spirited camp, even though it will be more of a quiet camp.
Yeah. You know, and typically, and we were talking to Brian Brown, defensive coordinator, just a little bit ago. You know, one of the things that he mentioned is, you know, they've spent much of the offseason, as you traditionally do, focusing on that season opening opponent, which was going to be NC State, as well as maybe, you know, another key game that's early in the schedule, which this year was Clemson. Well, you know, the adjusted schedule comes out and there's no NC State, no Clemson, and you don't know who's going to be week one yet. So it's a little bit different. Of course, the first few days of camp is just kind of, you know, making sure the rust is all gone, getting familiar with what you, how you run camp and those kind of things. But once the pads come on, they're going to start to want to focus, you know, so who knows when we'll get the actual schedule out. But yeah, there's still a lot to be excited about as the Cardinals do enter fall camp. Obviously they finished on an extremely high note with the win over Mississippi State in the Music City Bowl, with both sides of the ball making big plays. And that's kind of been the theme. And when they started their spring ball, which, you know, they got about a third of it in, maybe, you know, six or seven practices or so. That was kind of the theme. You know, they had just kind of carried over that momentum, and there was a lot of positive things coming out of spring ball. Now they've gotten through their voluntary workouts. They've had some walkthroughs, which really is the first time since that bowl game that they've been able to really do anything as a team. And now they're going to have camp where they're finally going to be able to do some 11-on-11 work. You know, so it's, yeah, and I've been really impressed, Jody, with how they've, you know, how Scott Satterfield and his staff have really managed, you know, from the shutdown to the return to campus, you know, getting through the walkthroughs. The NCAA allowed walkthroughs there as they kind of ease them into fall camp. And now, you know, keeping with that schedule that they had, the August 4th was our date. Let's stick with it. And, you know, if the season, once they get a start date and stuff, maybe they'll adjust how they do their spring practice. Don't know. Well, you know, that's still a question to be answered down the road. But really impressed by how they've managed, you know, their guys all through this, you know, this difficult time. And now as they start preparing for what looks like it's going to actually happen the 2020 season.
Yeah, and I'm I'm one, and look, I my life has been greatly affected by the coronavirus, and it still is to this day, each and every day, as I do some exercises while we're doing this podcast here. But I think from my standpoint and looking at it, we're going to have a season. It's just going to be a matter of how does it look like and how many fans are going to be in attendance and how many games are they going to be able to get through before they do have some, because there's going to be some games when we don't play. There's going to be some games when it just happens that those two teams have some kind of case or cases at some point. Now, as far as getting a game plan going, look, the staff is kind of ticked off, and you know, they're not, and I shouldn't say ticked off. It's more of a dang, we did a lot of preparation, you know, for NC State because they did it during spring ball, but that's not something that you're going to see this staff go crazy on. And, you know, unlike past years when we heard, well, they worked on the game plan and they ripped it up and they did another game plan. And it was like the 14th time that they're back around on the game plan and they just keep working on that same opener all the time, as previous staffs might have done. This staff spends a lot of time on a lot of different games, you know, so they do a lot of pre-work in the off season anyway. And I'm excited, and I like to see I like what they have done as far as getting this program to the point now where there's even more excitement than a lot more excitement than there was this time last year. Because quite honestly, Michael, if you think back last year, it was excitement because it was the first year for Scott Satterfield. But other than that, man, it was we were dreading some games last year. And no matter who's on the schedule or when they play it this year, I'm not dreading games. I'm excited. Let's get it going and let's see what happens.
Yeah, I remember last year making a preseason projection that Louisville was going to get, you know, a bowl bid, and was kind of laughed at by quite a few, and kind of understandably, it looked like I was going on a pretty big limb. And obviously Scott Satterfield and the staff, they finished off at 8-5. So yeah, there's a lot of excitement coming into this season. I mean, you look at what they accomplished and then what they have coming back. Mikael Cunningham, record breaker. Tutu Atwell, record breaker. Javion Hawkins, record breaker. You've got these three studs in, you know, on your offensive side of the ball, all coming back, and you've got a lot of veterans on that offensive front. You got an ACC leading tight end catching, a touchdown catching tight end coming back. It's a lot of things to get excited about on that offensive side of the ball. Defensively, what they improved about 10 points per game last year over 2018, which, you know, it wasn't hard to do as bad as 2018 was, but it's, you know, took the right step. And I think you're going to see the defense, while still as Brian Brown, you know, kind of described it today, still a work in progress, still working on that depth, but you know, they're poised to take another impressive step this year as well. So certainly a lot of excitement coming into this season.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of things over the course of this week. Some a look at five MVP candidates on offense and defense. Some some look at some newcomers, guys that we think might surprise, guys that we think are going to be right in the mix. And I Michael, as we start fall camp, I guess my whole thing is this: when you look at that list of newcomers and you look at the guys returning, it's quite obvious that the newcomers are going to play. It's just a matter of how many of them are going to be able to, they're going to be able to redshirt, and how many of them are going to end up rolling into key positions. And I think it's probably quite a few of them into key positions. You know, Brian Brown mentioned, and I know everybody freaks out about depth on the defensive line. I mean, it happens every time we turn around, people are talking about it. Not only on the boards, I get it in public, I get it on Twitter, you know, everywhere. Yep. And what did Brian Brown say today? He's not worried about depth on the defensive line. He thinks that there's some newcomers there that they can actually redshirt. So that means play four games and then not worry about them again. So he's not worried about depth on the defensive line. He's worried about depth in the secondary, which is quite obvious, and at linebacker, because if they do get somebody hurt at linebacker, it's going to be tough to rebound and bring that person back, you know, and bring someone else in, because it's newcomers and new guys. While the depth is being built, it's inexperienced right now, but I'm excited. I want to see who plays the most in the newcomers. I guess just off the top of my head, and I don't have the list here with me right now, but just off the top of my head and thinking of the newcomers, you know, coming in this year, I've heard a lot about Henry Bryant, and I think Jared Goldwire is the guy in the middle, but defensively, I think, you know, a guy like Henry Bryant or maybe Greedy Vance, those are the two guys that I expect to maybe play the most on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Henry Bryant. He was a guy, you know, because, you know, he's, you know, I'm not comparing him to Elvis Dumervil, but for a defensive lineman, he's a smaller stature as far as height goes, like Elvis was. And that can be to an advantage if you're quick. And as we know, Henry Bryant was a running back, you know, earlier in his high school career, and he's kind of kept that same type of expected burst as he's made the move over to a defensive tackle. And I kind of kept an eye on him during those first few days of spring ball when we were able to go into the Traeger Center over there during practices. And I tell you what, that kid just, you know, you wouldn't think it just looking at him, but once he gets down in his stance, I mean, the immediate burst that he has was impressive enough. I agree. I think he's a guy that, you know, is going to see some time this year. I think that 4-game rule is fantastic, especially for this class since they've got so many newcomers coming in. But yeah, I think really watching that secondary for some of those newcomers to really make a difference. And then, you know, somebody to obviously keep an eye on is Yaya Diaby. Obviously, he's not a true freshman. He's a junior, but a newcomer nonetheless, and I think a guy that really has an opportunity to make a big impact as well.
Yeah, it's all over the place. I think offensively, you won't see it as much. I mean, I think Trevor Reed's going to work himself in to the mix. I think Cam DeGeorge, the grad transfer, work himself in the mix. But I honestly don't think you're going to see a ton. I'll give you one here, Michael. I'll go on and steal it a little bit from my story later in the week. But one of my top five surprise players on the team is going to be out of the running back position, because I think Jalen Mitchell is going to play some. And I think he will surprise people at just how good, how talented, and how physical of a runner he is. It gives them a little bit of a different, not that he's slow at all, but it gives them, he's a bigger back for what's, you know, compared to Hassan and Javion Hawkins. I just think he gives them a different version, and I'm excited to see what he does. And you know what? With the wide receivers, somebody's going to have to step up. I mean, you're talking about a wide receiver group where you have Des Fitzpatrick and Tutu Atwell, two of the best in the ACC. But other than that, you know, Justin Marshall, you've got, you know, had a few catches last year. But other than that, nobody's really caught any passes from last year. I mean, there's nobody back in that group that had catches. I think before he got hurt, one of the two was Josh Johnson or Tyler here. I think Josh Johnson, before he got hurt, had one catch. But other than that, there's nobody in that group that's had any catches. You know, Corey Reed, Christian Fitzpatrick, you know, I mentioned Harold, Jordan Watkins, Braden Smith, Nick Melito, guys that have got talent, guys that have got a lot of bright futures, but really nobody. I don't know. Nobody that's out there right now that has any experience, Michael.
Yeah, offensively, you know, I agree with you on Trevor Reed along the offensive line. Another one that's gotten a lot of praise, Luke Kander. Really, you know, look forward to seeing how much of an impact, you know, he makes on the offensive front. You know, could he be a 4-game and then redshirt guy? I think if they're able to redshirt him, I think that means the offensive line is in a pretty good place, which I expect it to be. But yeah, I think a lot of that's going to focus, when you look at the newcomers, at that wide receiver spot. Now, you know, going back to spring again, you know, Braden Smith, really impressive. But Christian Fitzpatrick, I remember watching the wide receivers the couple of days we were in for that, and just seeing him, it was like, you knew who he was, but it was still like, that can't be the true freshman wide receiver. I mean, just, yeah, his size at 6'4", right, 215. I mean, the build that he has, and then going out and you know, showed some great hands during spring. So a lot of expectations to see Christian potentially play, especially having that opportunity to be with his older brother, senior Des Fitzpatrick. So I expect to see some balls probably come his way if he continues to be as impressive in camp as he was in the spring. So it's going to be exciting to watch all these newcomers, you know, start to take shape as the Satterfield era gets into year number two.
No doubt. Michael's got a 10 questions up right now, 10 questions as we head into fall camp. I did a football notebook. We'll have that each Monday morning, Monday at some point Monday during the day. It's more of a new content ad that's kind of a just kind of catch up with things because there's a lot out there, and I'll throw some other schools in on the schedule and that kind of thing, so you can keep up with injuries and things like that. So we'll continue that on Mondays as well. And of course, I had a 5 prospects, or actually I think it was 7 prospects, and then TJ Lewis committed, so it was 6 guys to watch as we're dwindling down. We're dwindling down to the numbers, and we explained on the special edition of the Cards Cast on Saturday. Saturday when TJ Lewis committed that the numbers have changed. Louisville now with 22 on the board in 2021. They just have 2 spots left. It's a great position to be in as they head into fall camp. And I will say this, and I'll keep saying this. You still have there is still nothing changed with Prince Kali at this point. I know he got a crystal ball and people all freaking out and worried about it, but just as I told you when Shadur Sanders got a crystal ball that I believe was a 6 confidence, that I didn't think he was coming to Louisville. I will tell you with the Notre Dame insider Tom Loy, who's very good, is our colleague up there in South Bend, put a 7 in. I still think right now, if I had to make a pick, and I'm not going to put a crystal ball in because I'm not confident enough right now that I know where he's going. Not that he's not going to Louisville or not going to Notre Dame, but I think that, you know, Prince is still in the stage of figuring it out. But if I had to right now, I would still pick Louisville. From what I've heard from my sources around around Louisville and also around the kid and down in the Tennessee area. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know Louisville is putting all their efforts into it, and he's the main guy on the board. Other than that, it's really kind of wait and see, I think. I mean, Gunter Brewer wants a wide receiver. I don't think he's going to get a take a wide receiver. Dwayne Ledford wants an offensive lineman. I think he might end up being able to take an offensive lineman. You know, Scott Satterfield wants 5 quarterbacks in the room. Do they take Nick Vadiato as that 5th guy? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens moving forward with that last spot. But I can tell you one of them will be a linebacker. Other than that 2nd spot, it could be a little bit of anything.
Yeah, I mean, and it's almost once you get to that final spot, you know, the way this whole recruiting process has gone, you know, no harm in holding on to it. And you never know what's going to pop up. But yeah, a lot of different options that they have. And I'm like with you. I've chatted about it a little bit on the Cardinal Authority Insider boards earlier today about Prince Kali. You know, continuing to hear really good things with Louisville, the way they're recruiting and the relationships that they've built. Now, obviously, you know, it's one of those recruiting, you know, efforts that everybody's coming after. I mean, right now it looks like it's Louisville, Notre Dame, and it's gonna, you know, kind of a bit of a roller coaster ride, but that's kind of what you expect. And that's kind of what you anticipate. And now that Louisville's down to just two spots in the class, a little more spotlight's going to fall on each one as the hype and stuff kind of builds. But, you know, it's certainly a guy that you would love to have in your class. As I said on the boards, you know, it would be a great cherry on top of a fantastic class to this point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, I'm not worried. You're going to hear people get offers. You're going to hear people say, this kid and that kid and decommitment and all that. We're going to tell you what we're hearing, but there's not a lot of negativity out there as far as with this class. It's hard to find any negative about what the staff has done as far as recruiting is concerned and moving into the last 2 spots of this class. And as now as they transition into the 2022 class, they've got a lot of guys that they really wanted and it'll be interesting. Hey, one thing I did want to bring up when we go back and talk about recruiting, the 2020 class included KJ Cloyd. He has committed to Louisville, but he's not finished up the paperwork. So he's not on campus. He was expected to be on campus this weekend. I'm told that they're hoping that they can get this ironed out this afternoon, you know, by Monday evening, and they'll be able to announce that his addition to The roster, I do know after he committed, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, after he committed, there has been a ton of talk between Mississippi State and some other schools down in the South. So I know the SEC is trying hard to get him to kind of go back on his commitment before he gets to campus. From what I understand, the latest that I've been told is that they expect Louisville expects to have it wrapped up at some point this evening as far as all the paperwork, and then they don't have to worry about those other schools, you know, trying to get him at the very last minute. That's the tough thing about a late addition, is you don't have a whole lot of control over. It's not like a national signing day. You know, it's not like you're sending a letter of intent and then you're in our program. It's kind of up to when the kid and his family and people around him or whatever can get things happened and move on. Again, I just know there's some other schools out there that are really trying to get him, which tells me he is a very good addition for this Louisville team and the Louisville defense. And they still at this point expect him to be on campus, sometime later this week.
Hey, Jody, this I think we should just throw this in there. The 2021 class, currently with 22 commitments, just a little update. I'm currently sitting number 20 in the 247 sports industry generated composite ratings, remains number 4 in the ACC. Its average player rating of 8.619 would sit as the third time a U of L recruiting class has gotten above the 8.6 spot. And it's the second highest in program history. And I suspect that it's going to hover around that until the class closes out. So it's looking at going to be one of the first or second highest rated from a prospect rating, average prospect rating status that Louisville's ever had. And the overall ranking, I think it's trending to finish probably between 25 and 30, which again puts it among the best the school's ever had. So Scott Satterfield and his staff certainly have done a fantastic job, you know, through a shutdown, the ongoing pandemic, you know, with the Zoom calls. And as we've heard from the recruits, the way that they're forming relationships and making it an entire staff effort has really impressed a lot of these kids and has been one of the main reasons why they've been able to do so well.
Yep, no doubt about it. They've done a bang up job, and they'll continue that. So, all right, let's move on to some basketball. Not a ton to report in basketball, Michael. Again, these guys, they haven't been able to do, you know, they were shut down for a couple weeks, so they were not doing anything. And then last week came back and were able to start doing, I guess 2 weeks ago came back and were able to start doing some summer conditioning. They went through last week, did some teaching. Coach Mack is and Coach Murray are back on campus. The coaches were gone for quite a while off of campus, but they've been back for a little while, and they're kind of doing the workouts. And right now, Mike Pegues, his wife just had a baby, and I think he's staying home right now. Once school returns on August 17th, I know he'll get back in, and he's got to give that newborn up a little bit and get back into the office. But I know he will be back in the office, and from what I understand, Dino Gaudio will be as well. I think health concerns and being safe is why Coach Gaudio is kind of, not, I won't say stayed away, but is why he's been very active in recruiting, we know. And he's also been very active in doing things, but it's been on Zoom. It's been on Teams and things like that. And those guys are there as far as watching the workouts and doing that kind of stuff. They're just not actually present for another couple of weeks, but both of them have circumstances that they needed to tend to as far as being at home and that kind of stuff. So Coach Mack and Coach Murray have been running the show, and I it's just not been a ton of things that they've had to do. I mentioned on one of the threads that I understand it, DeAndre Davis is a guy who, as I was told, is going to help this team out this year. Not that the other newcomers won't, but he's the one maybe in the early indications that maybe, I don't know if I'd say he's a little better than they thought, but he has transitioned well, let's just say. And Michael, we've been kind of bullish on DeAndre Davis at 247 Sports and JJ Trainer. They both are outside of the top 100 in the 24/7 composite, but we're both inside our top 100, and I think we're right with both of them, but I am certain we are right with DeAndre Davis, that he is going to be an impact guy at the Louisville ACC level. And I don't know if I'd say impact as a freshman, but definitely contributor as a freshman.
Yeah, well, I had a chance to talk to both JJ and DeAndre. We did the series, as many know, 10 questions with the newcomers. If you haven't seen them yet, you can go to cardinalauthority.com and throw them up. Jody, you did a great job kind of compiling them and throwing it up over the weekend. So go check those out. But really love the attitude of both DeAndre and JJ. You know, they kind of view what David Johnson did last year. And I don't think they're comparing themselves to David Johnson, but just how Chris Mack was able to utilize David Johnson and make him such an integral part of the team has kind of really motivated these guys that look, we can come in and we do have an opportunity. And as you're saying, from what we're hearing about the DeAndre, you know, he's making that transition, you know, to campus and to competing at this level. It sounds like pretty smoothly, which is what you want. So I'm really excited to see both of those guys. I mean, I think they both have bright futures, could be lengthy futures at Louisville, which you'd love to see, and longtime contributors. So really like, and I tell you, Jody, one thing that's really stood out to me, looking at the tweets that the basketball program, you know, occasionally sends out, is the size of these guys. I mean, strength coach Andy Kettler has done an unbelievable job. You know, they're looking bulk. I mean, they look like a bunch of Hulks out there. It's been impressive.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I mean, it's one of those deals where the guys look different. You know, I mean, I think it's going to be a better year than most people think, because I think most people assume that David Johnson and Sam Williamson are the two best players on the team. I guess let me go back. That David Johnson, Samuel Williamson, and Malik Williams are the three top players in some shape or form. I think that's what most people out there think. And I think when it's all said and done,
drop off.
I think when it's all said and done, I think people are going to realize that Carleek Jones might be the best player. Now, I don't think he's the best pro prospect. I don't think he's the best guy who is going to get a ton of, you know, national accolades and all that kind of stuff. But I think by the end of the year, my prediction, and it might be a bold one at this point for some people if you're listening, but some others, if you've seen him, you're aware. I think Carleek Jones is going to end up being an all ACC player. I really do. And I would not be shocked if at the end of the year we look back and do a podcast and we say, you know what, that was right. He was the best player on this team. That's not to say the other guys aren't going to have good years. So I guess what I'm saying is I feel really, really, really good with a starting five. It's just going to be from now until the beginning of the season, how do some of those other guys improve to get on the, you know, to get those minutes and to be able to contribute and to make this team make the depth where it needs to be for them to compete, you know, at the highest level. And when I say that, I don't think guys can't do it. I just think it's a bunch of unproven young guys, and that's the point right now. So I'm excited. I can't wait to get basketball going so we can hopefully at some point, even if it's on TV, just see and watch these guys kind of mingle together and get together because there are some really good players on this team. And again, I don't think people truly understand how good Carleek Jones is.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially from an outside Louisville perspective, you know, because, you know, the shutdowns kind of hindered the opportunity to get news for part of it, you know, but I think Carleek, as well as both grad transfers, are kind of undervalued a little bit, because I think from a national perspective, or when you're looking at what a team comes back, I don't think many of our brains are still trained to go that way. But as you know, You've spoken highly of him. Obviously, Chris Mack has spoken highly of him. Talked to Brian Snow, 247 Sports analyst. I've chatted with him a number of times, and extremely high. Obviously, he had him rated as the number one grad transfer in the country. So this is a guy I expect to come in. We had a chance to talk to him the other day. I'll have something on him on Tuesday morning. And his attitude is basically, look, if I have to score, I'm going to score. If I have to dish, I'm going to dish. If my defense is the difference maker, that's what I'm going to do. You know, and that's what you want from a guy that's going to be coming in and really forced to lead a brand new team to him. You know, so looking forward to you know, seeing his impact. And like you, can't wait to see what becomes of the basketball season. And kind of on a related note, we posted this on the message board at Cardinal Authority. As you know, the Cardinals right now are scheduled to play in the MGM Resorts main event in November out in Las Vegas. Certainly one of those events. It seems like it's very much up in the air whether it get played or not. It's still no decision on that, but they are moving forward with hopefully playing it as we posted over there, and you can get more at gocards.com. They're going to start a presale on the tickets. They're going to cap capacity out there at 25%. So if you're still interested in getting out to Las Vegas for the event November 20th through the 22nd, they're still, you know, hoping to have that event go on. So either go to cardinalauthority.com or gocards.com. You can find more information on it. But it's interesting to see how things are starting to now be announced as if they're going to happen.
Yeah, no, we'll see. And I don't think Vegas will happen. I really don't.
I'd be surprised, but interesting release at least today.
I just think you have to plan like it is for right now, just because it's only, you know, less than 3.5 months away. So you kind of have to plan for it right now. And if it doesn't happen, then you refund those tickets. I've been told also this week we'll hear some schedule news for basketball. Again, I'm not sure that non-conference games will happen, but I think at some point in the next week or 10 days that we'll find out a game date for the Kentucky Louisville game in late December. So it'll be very interesting to see. And we also know now that Louisville only has limited spots left in their recruiting class after last week's news of Eric von der Heiden joining the class with Bobby Pettiford, L. Ellis, and Bryce Hopkins. The Cards are down to just two scholarships. One of those definitely, absolutely no question, will be used for a center prospect. Roosevelt Wheeler is the top guy. I think he is the guy that really, when you look at it, that's who they want. They're in good position. NC State right there with them, though. It's going to be a tough one. Coach Keats has done a really good job. Coach Pegues with Louisville and Coach Mack have done a great job of getting there in there with him. Mack, McBeer ETN, I think I just call him Mick, is the guy from Brewster. I think Louisville is in the mix, but it's a lot of schools in the mix, and it's going to be a long recruiting process. There's a kid named Jamarian Sharp who was actually one of Jay Scrubb's teammates last year. He's actually a 7'2" kid from John Logan, who is originally from Hopkinsville. So he's kind of a little bit under the radar, but some Power Five schools have really taken notice. I'm not sure. I heard he was going to get offered by Kansas. I don't know if Kansas has actually offered him yet, but he's getting a lot of looks and a lot of different Power Five guys coming after him. So he's one just to kind of to keep an eye on. But that one spot's got to be a center. And then the other spot's going to be a really good athletic dude who can handle the ball, who can score, who can do a lot of different things. You know, last week when Louisville he made it official last week, but Eric von der Heiden had committed actually like about 10 days before he made that announcement. So Coach Mack and his staff had the opportunity or the chance to call their top targets and tell them what was going on and how they wanted to proceed moving forward. You know, Malachi Branham was one of those guys. And before that, he even committed to Ohio State and stayed home. Harrison Ingram and Jalen Warley were the next two guys on their list, the guys that they really, really wanted. Both guys were informed and said, hey, we're going to still recruit you. But I think it's just one of those deals where you look at the other guys in the class and the other guys on the thing. And I'm not saying that they're scared of competition or anything like that. But, you know, it's a crowded roster of guys, and it becomes tough to really go after guys that appear to be similar to other guys you have on your roster. Like, I think Harrison Ingram was going to be a tough recruitment to the end anyway. I think he'll end up at Purdue or Stanford, probably Stanford. But when you look at, you know, when you look at what Louisville has, I think they would have stayed in the mix I think they would have stayed in the mix for him had they, had he put them on his list, but he didn't, and so they move on, Michael.
Yeah, and when you look at the class that they have right now, the four in the 2021 class, it's kind of got that Chris Mack stamp. I mean, we know that he loves the versatility, you guys that can, you know, move around to different spots on the floor, and you're seeing that quite a bit. And you know, I suspect even with the big man, it's going to be somebody that's a little bit more of a versatile big man, as we'll eventually see in the class. And then, you know, we've talked about, and you've mentioned a number of times that, you know, potentially reaching out to six in this class, and maybe it could be a grad transfer or a transfer. Thoughts on, you know, is that still something that they could consider down the road, or do you think they'll focus more onto the high school class?
I think it's down the road. They can be very picky. They can be very picky. I think they want to get a post player in this class. Like, they want a post player in the freshman class. You know, if something were to happen and they would, and there would be an opening of a scout, of an extra scout. Look, I think right now they're going to have six. And I know everybody's out there going, six, what's that mean? I think David Johnson and Sam Williamson are gone after this year. My gut feeling. That's what I think. Two things about that. If they are, it's going to be a really good year. If they're, I do think, that the notice of allegations could play into how many scholarships you have left, you know, and how many people, are still on the thing. You know, we're going to know by that. We're going to know by, well, Lord, I hope we know by April. if not, the NCAA is going to be, going to be really dragging their feet on this one, but we'll know. So I think that, you know, there could be flexibility in the end, but they want a post player out of the high school ranks, from what I understand, in this class 2021. That other spot, you can be really picky with taking a really good player, someone that you really want. They can go out and they can really go after Trevor Keels or Hunter Salas. I think Hunter Salas would be the guy right now that I would put at the top there. You know, DeMarco Dunn is a guy out of North Carolina that I think they'll mess around a little bit with and see if they can get more involved with him. I'm not a big Davy Jones fan. I think they're pretty in there, pretty good with him. I would put him down a little on my list. And then Debo Coleman is just is a tough recruiting thing. So many people so many schools involved there. So those are the guys that I think they want. But if they don't get one of those guys, then you get a grad transfer. And you know, look how good Chris Mack has been with grad transfers. Look how good Louisville's been with grad transfers. And they can at least tell people, hey, look, here's what we've got to offer. And again, I just don't think it's I don't think it's not in a bad situation right now, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, sitting at August 3rd. Yeah, with the commits that they have for in this class, looking to take six, I think they're in a fantastic position. You know, and now that, you know, like I said, I think they can get, you know, even picky, you know, with their fifth and sixth. So looking forward to seeing how they wrap it up.
People don't realize this, but, you know, and actually my wife realizes it because I've been home. this is the day that I'm decompressing from having a month of being on the road for the month of July, not only the ACC football media day, but also, you know, the Peach Jam and Under Armour and Adidas and all those other events that they have. This is normally the day that we see most of the big prospects in Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, cut down their list and narrow down their list. Well, so many of them have already made decisions this year. So you've really accelerated the process, and Louisville has really even more so accelerated the process by getting four guys in the class, you know, and obviously adding Gabe Wisnitzer to the 2020 class and him already on campus. So that's five. I mean, he's going to redshirt. I include him in that class, to be quite honest. That's a five-man class right now that are going to be newcomers next year. One of those guys who's been on campus, who's going to be on campus for a whole year. So, you know, they're really ahead of the game. I know people, you know, might say, oh, no, they are. They're really ahead of the game. They got two spots left. One's a post player, and one they can be really, really picky, and that's not a bad spot to be in. Michael, a couple other real quick notes. Great job by the WNBA girls. How about Jasmine Jones and Kylie Shook? They hit each other on three. I think Jazz had three assists to Kylie, and Kylie's two assists were both to Jazz. They really played well. Angel McCautry playing well, Myesha Hines-Allen, and then in baseball as well, you know, some guys doing some good things. We will we'll keep you posted on that throughout the year, especially as there's not as much going on right now with U of L athletics. There, hopefully we'll ramp that, be able to ramp that back up here soon, and again have games and everything else. But we'll keep you posted on the athletes as well. And I got to throw this one out there. I'm a horse guy. Jack Sisterson's a former U of L men's soccer player, and he won his first Grade One race, which is the highest, you know, level in horse racing. It's the top one. He won his first Grade One with Vexatious at Saratoga on Saturday. Jack is a rising, up and coming young, great young trainer, and he worked for Doug O'Neill. Was with Doug O'Neill when he won the when he won a couple derbies, and is now out on his own. So congrats to Jack. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, and a quick note on Louisville baseball. You know, they've wrapped up their summer leagues. You know, we've had, you know, notes and notebooks and interviews. I actually talked to Ben Metzinger, who wrapped up a really impressive season. He stayed here locally, playing over in St. Matthews. We'll have a story on him. But now that they've wrapped that up, they've got a kind of a few days on their own, but they're going to be back on campus soon, and beginning really their fall camp as well. You know, and from what I understand, it's going to be done a little bit differently. They're going to limit how many guys can be on the field at a certain time. But it, just in talking to the guys, they're really excited to get back on the campus, start learning from under Dan McDonald again, and to be around the guys. I mean, they've been apart, you know, not just because of summer ball, but the shutdown kept these guys apart much longer. I mean, they one obviously expected to be playing until June, you know, so they've been apart, you know, much longer than they had ever anticipated. So there's a lot of excitement there as they're getting soon. We'll be back on campus and start working and focusing on the 2021 season, if you can believe it.
Yeah, and you know, they have enough talent where they could split this team into like five different individual teams for fall ball and be able to have good scrimmages. So it'll be interesting to see what Coach Mack does and all that kind of stuff. I hope they film some of them, because I'm I've been told that nobody's going to be allowed there because it's just going to be the protocols that they have to keep everybody safe. But the one year I really wanted to go out and watch some fall baseball this year, and it's not going to happen. But whatever, Michael, we hope that there's a fall season. We hope there's a season moving forward. We get back to normal here at some point here really soon. We will keep you posted. We don't expect any commitments this week, but you never, ever know. Around these parts, if we have one, we'll do a special edition of the Cards Cast. If we have the scheduled dates and times, Michael and I will do a special edition breaking down the actual schedule and the dates and the times. I think it'll be early next week, but again, it could happen, you know, this week. I know Louisville is one of the schools, from what I understand, that is pretty set on their non-conference. I do think, unless something drastic happens, that it's going to be Western Kentucky for that last game. For Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Demlin. This has been a Cards Cast, a weekly podcast at CardinalAuthority.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.